Now that brings us to chapter 2. And we see now Nehemiah's request of the king and his return to Jerusalem and his review of the ruins of Jerusalem. Now, will you notice this? Well, this is rather important. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. Now, this is where the 70 weeks of Daniel begin, right at this particular point. Now, he says, in this 20th year, he was before the king, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had not been before time sad in his presence. Now, this man, Nehemiah, as we're going to see, he's a delightful fella. I'd love to have known him. He's the kind of a layman that you like, and there are many laymen like him. Now, he had a political job. He was a cupbearer. Now, a cupbearer did this. His function was anything brought to the king, like a glass of wine, he tasted it first. And if he didn't fall down, then the king, he would take it. He had a dangerous job, too, by the way. But a man that was in the presence of the king all the time soon became, shall I say, a friend of the king. Naturally, he would be. And many times I think the king, when a decision was before him, would ask the cupbearer, so what do you think about this matter? Well, in time, the cupbearer became sort of an advisor. He was a member of the cabinet of the king. And he actually had a very important position. Now, Nehemiah was in the presence of the king all the time. You can see why probably he didn't return. He hoped that someday he might be able to use this position to help his people. Maybe that's the reason he asked about him. Now, he's prepared to make a request to the king, but he's not quite ready. And this day, he doesn't feel very good. He's had this bad news. He's been fasting. He's been praying and been mourning. I think his eyes were red, and he didn't look happy. And as he says here, now I had not been before time sad in his presence. He's a bright, cheerful fella. Everybody liked him. But this day he's sad. Now the king notes it because it's so unlike Nehemiah. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah said, I didn't know it showed. He said, I tried to conceal it, but I wasn't able to, apparently. And the king asked me the point-blank question. He said, now, why are you sad? You're not sick physically, so it must be sorrow of the heart. Something's troubling you. Now, the king said to him, tell me what it is. And he was very sore afraid. Verse 3, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. And the cupbearer always could say that, you know, wholeheartedly, because, you see, he tasted what came before the king. And he hoped the king stayed in good health, and he hoped he did too. And if the king stayed in good health, he did also. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then he just blurted out, as it were. Why, he says here, why shouldn't I be sad, O king, my master? Why, the city, my city, the place of my father's sepulchres, my fathers are buried there, it lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Now notice this. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Now this is the first time this word so occurs, but it occurs 32 times. And this man uses this word as a shortcut to get around a lot of protocol and a lot of flowery verbiage that doesn't mean anything. You'll find he goes always right to the point, doesn't beat around the bush. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Right there in the presence of the king. The king said to him, what do you want? You evidently want to make a request to me. What is it that you'd like to ask me? And so Nehemiah just bowed his head, closed his eyes for a moment, and he prayed to the God of heaven. I think it's a very brief prayer, but he says, oh, Lord, help me. I am in a tight spot.